यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहार जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna.
Jai Gauranita
নিত্যায় গৌর হরি বল, হরি বল, হরি বল, নিত্যায় গৌর হরি বল।
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य सरस्वती श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य श्री भक्ति वेदांत सती ठाकुर महाराज की। ग्रंथ श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 74। So the chapter is Instructions for Civilized Human Beings.
Dharmaste griha medhiyo, Dharmaste griha medhiyo, Varnita papanashanah, वर्णिता पापनाशनः गृहस्थो येन पादावेम, गृहस्थो येन पादावेम अञ्जसा न्यासिनीम् इयात्, अञ्जसा न्यासिनाम् इयात्। धर्मास्ते गृहमेधियो, धर्मास्ते गृहमेधियो, वर्णिता पापनाशनः, वर्णिता पापनाशनः, गृहस्थो येन पादावेम, गृहस्थो येन पादावेम अञ्जसा न्यासिनाम् इयात्, अञ्जसा न्यासिनाम् इयात्। अनिता पापनाशना गृहस्थो येन पादावेम, गृहस्थो येन पादावेम अञ्जसा न्यासिनाम् इयात्, धर्मस्ते इह मेधियो वर्णिता पापनाशना।
Word for word, dharmaha, that religious process, te, to you, Grahamedhyah, although attached to householder life, Varnitaha, explained by me, Papanashinaha, the destruction of sinful reactions, Grihasthaha, a person in household life, Yena, by which, Padavim, the position, Anjasa, very easily, Nyasinam, of those in the renounced order of life, Iyat, can obtain. Translation: the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhishthir, I have now explained to you that process of religion. Purport: this is a confirmation of Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely Brahmagyana, spiritual knowledge. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Maharaj Yudhishthir thought that because he was a grihastha, there was no hope for his being liberated. And therefore he asked Narad Muni how he could get out of material entanglement. But Narad Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established that by associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, any man in any condition of life can achieve the highest perfection without a doubt. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I'll just read the translation. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, can very easily gain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhishthir, I have now explained to you that process of religion. So this verse is like the ultimate results, the ultimate conclusion that Prabhupada has explained to us, that the scriptures mention. So the process of chanting of the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by chanting this, even the grihasthas can very easily gain the ultimate result. So what is the ultimate result? Love for Krishna, Krishna prema, isn't it? So we see that in this age of Kali Yuga, it is so easy, it has been made so easy that actually in some of the scriptures, the great devotees of the Lord actually glorify the age of Kali Yuga. Because what can be easily achieved in this age had to be achieved in the very, very complicated processes in the previous ages. So you see this chanting of that we do on the beads, it is considered the Yuga Dharma for this age. But in the previous ages, the processes to attain liberation, to attain perfection of life was different. So we know that we have the four yugas, the Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and the Kali Yuga. So if you see in the four yugas, the processes were, in Satyuga, what was it? Meditation. And who did, in Bhagavatam we read about the devotees who meditated. They went to the forest to meditate on the Supreme Lord. And was that an easy process? No. But they were able to do it because their minds were very more stable, let's say they were more settled people, and they could perform those kind of austerities. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he went to the forest, he performed severe austerities, and he could focus on the Supreme Lord from within. After performing those austerities, in spite of living in such dire conditions, he could perform those austerities, and of course he reached his goal as well. He could attain the Lord. Now, if you see in general, we need to be so comfortable to be able to do our chanting, isn't it? If we are not comfortable, if there is a little bit of inconvenience, also that distracts us from our chanting. So if you make a comparison between the Yuga Dharma that was there in the Satyuga and now, there is a sea of difference. In even the levels of the consciousness levels of people, we can't easily do a process, follow a process which is much, much more easier than there was in Satyuga. And another point to note is that in Satyuga, the process was more subtle. It was more on the level of mind and heart. You had to meditate, you had to do tapasya. And also how you do tapasya, you go in the forest. You had to be in isolation. Right? So that was the Yuga Dharma of Satyuga. Right? And then Treta Yuga, what was the Yuga Dharma in Treta Yuga? Yajnas and sacrifices. So you perform sacrifices and they had to be so elaborate that major part of the day used to go in that. And it was not that you would do them once in a week or once in a month or on a festival day. Every day, yajnas were performed. Every day, even the grihasthas were performing them. So majority of the time was spent in doing the yajnas and sacrifices. And to do the yajnas and sacrifices, what do you need? You need brahmanas. And what else do you need? You need a lot of paraphernalia, right? You need very pure ingredients. And that purity of ingredients was available in that day and age. And purity of ingredients, for example, what do we use to do a yajna or sacrifice? We use milk, ghee, butter, like all the dairy products, and then we use fresh juices, fruits, grains, all sorts of then delicacies were made out of those, and they're offered to the Lord in the yajnas. Now, purity of this, these were very easily available. Things were very pure in those days. And purity doesn't just mean pure in the sense that it is organic, it is fresh. Even in today's day and age, we get some certified organic products. But purity also means in the sense that when it is procured, then there is no... it is not procured in a sinful manner or in an unfair manner. Whenever anything is procured, the farmers grow, for example, the crops, the fruits, the vegetables, they come from the farmers. They are given their due share. They get their payment, or if the barter system was in place, they used to be satisfied with what they have got. And then it used to be brought for the yajnas and ceremonies, such spiritual ceremonies. But even if there was a little bit of impurity in bringing it, then it used to impact the consciousness. So once there was this sage, he was invited by a king to come to his palace, and he was, because the king was very, he was a very pious king, he wanted to honor the sages, he would honor the sages and he would want to serve the sages. So when that sage came, he was nicely respected by the king and he was given due respect and he heard from the sage. And when the sage had his prasadam, whatever was offered, he ate that. But next morning, he told the king that he is very disturbed by having the food, the delicacies that were offered to him. So the king asked him that he inquired from his cooks and the servants why the sage has mentioned this. So he found no imperfections in the way the sage was served. So then he very humbly requested the sage to explain to him why he was not satisfied and why he felt disturbed. He said, the food that you have procured, the farmers are not happy. You are not giving them their due share. And that is why it has disturbed my consciousness. You must make sure that whenever any barter system, any trade takes place, it must be done in a very just and fair manner. And you should not be... you should not be imposing unfair and unnecessary taxes. So it had to be done very justly. So this is just an example of purity. Purity just doesn't mean that the crop should be very nicely done. It should have quality. But it should be procured in a conscious manner to make sure that everybody from whom it has come through the line of procurement, everybody feels satisfied with that. So in this way, this kind of purity, it's far from available in today's world, because the farmers are not satisfied, the cows are being exploited to the maximum extent they can, and when the cow is our mother because she gives us milk, and when she stops giving us milk, what happens? Then she's sent to the slaughterhouse. So the milk that we drink, it is procured, it carries a lot of karma with it. It carries a lot of karma with it. That's why our gurus, our seniors in ISKCON, they encourage us to start goshalas and farms where cows can live happily, just like our mothers can live happily even in their old age. They must be treated like that. So this is how purity was maintained. But you see, in those days, it was possible because there were forests and the fodder for the cows was not purchased in the markets. It was available. The forest would look like during the time of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna would take the cows and the calves to the forests. So the jungles are freely available for the cows to graze. They would happily roam around, and they were in their natural habitat. They would enjoy and satisfied. And they come home, they give a lot of milk. And they even attached to their owners, whosoever is having them, is rearing them. They are very, they know them. The cows have the intelligence to know who the owner is, who their owners are and family members are, and they are attached to them. So in this way, the whole cycle was maintained in a very amicable manner. They were friendly ties with, even with the animals that we were living with. No, what to talk of the humans, even the animals were not exploited in any way. So this is how the purity was maintained, and it was maintainable in that day and age. So Satyuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapar Yuga. So Dwapar Yuga, what was the Yuga Dharma? Deity worship, right? We used to do deity worship. A lot of deity worship was done, and elaborate arrangements were made for deity worship. And again, this is again not possible in today's day and age. We have one temple, and there are so many grihasas associated with this temple. And we have a roster where once a week or twice a week we're able to come and do service. And in those days, such elaborate deity worship was done by every grihastha. It was the family tradition. They used to live together. Families were not like the units that we have these days, only, you know, husband, wife, and children. They were extended families. Families would live together. And they did not spend most of their day in earning their livelihood, unlike us these days. Majority of our time is spent in earning a livelihood, and whatever little time we have, the rest has to be given to the family, to children, to elderly parents, and the day is gone. So where do we have the time and the energy to worship the deity? So if you see that way, then in Kali Yuga, the process of perfection has been made very easy for us. Neither do we have the peace of mind. It is already mentioned in Bhagavatam, Mand Sumand Matyo, Mand Bhagya Hi Upadrita, right? In this age, people are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So how can we meditate like in Satyuga they were meditating on the Lord when our minds are so disturbed? We can't do that. So if you see, the process has become from subtle to more gross, right? So here we, much more simpler and easier. And the eligibility is almost nothing. In those days, you had to be a qualified brahmana to perform yajñas, or you had to be a qualified brahmana to do deity worship. But in this day and age, anybody, like Prabhupada says, anybody can chant and attain perfection in life. And that is the greatest grace of Lord Krishna, that he has allowed this in this day and age. It is made so easy for us, right? And this is also mentioned in the scriptures, that this is the only way we can attain perfection. Even though this Kali Yuga is full of faults, Kale dosh nidhe rajan asti yeko mana mahan guna kirtanadev krishnasya tangas pramvarji. Yes, so this is mentioned, that the greatest benefit that we have in this day and age is that the process has been made very simple for us. And the holy names of the Lord are not something material. It's not something mundane. As Narottam Das Thakur mentions, Golokera Premadhana Hari Nam Sankirtan. The name of the Lord has descended from Goloka, from the spiritual world. And in this material world, it comes, and when we chant with our tongue, when we vibrate our tongue to chant the mantra, what it does is, it has the effect of purifying our heart. As Mahaprabhu has said in Shikshastakam, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. The chit, or the heart, it gets purified. Marjanam is purified by what? By chanting the holy names of the Lord, right? Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. The great fire of material suffering can be overcome just by chanting the holy names of the Lord. And all auspiciousness, Shriya Kairva Chandrika Vitaranam, all auspiciousness will be spread everywhere by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very profound statement. He says, this is a confirmation of Krishna consciousness movement. What is he trying to say here? He says that the basis of our movement, the basis of Krishna consciousness movement is that we chant, we want everyone to chant and attain perfection through the process of chanting. And then as mentioned here, that even grihasthas, why it is mentioned? Because Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was a grihastha as we all know. And not only was a grihastha, he was a king. So imagine how much responsibility he would have compared to normal individuals who just have to maintain a family. He had to maintain all the families in his kingdom. So he has a much bigger family and much, much bigger responsibility. Therefore, he was asking why and how he can attain liberation. So then here it is mentioned that even grihasthas can attain liberation by this process of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that how Narad Muni gives his own example. And now how we read that Narad Muni, when he was the daughter of a simple a maid who actually got the opportunity to serve the Bhakti Vedantas, right? What happens when she does that? Then Narad Muni, he's a small boy at that time, in that lifetime, he also likes to, he listens to them, and he used to help his mother, and he used to, by their permission, take the remnants. And for that entire Chaturmas period, when the Bhakti Vedantas were living there, and Narad Muni's mother, in that lifetime, got the opportunity to serve them, then Narad Muni, as a little young boy, also had the opportunity to hear from them, associate with them, hear from them, and take his remnants, their remnants. And what had happened? He attained perfection eventually in next lifetime. He attained perfection. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is trying to mention here that he was a simple boy, and he had no access to education because he was the son of a maid servant. Right, so he had no access to education or to study scriptures or to go to a gurukul. He only lived with his mother, and they could barely make two ends meet. And yet he was able to attain it. So this is how Srila Prabhupada is explaining that even grihasthas can attain perfection by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now, even though we say that the process is simple, Prabhupada has mentioned that it is simple for the simple, but it is very complicated for the complicated, right? So, because in this day and age, this Kali Yuga is predominant with mode of passion. And when we are in mode of passion, it's not always easy to sit down with our beads and chant attentively. And that's why Srila Prabhupada says he has created so many projects and so many engagements so that we can engage in those and we can purify. You see, when we do deity worship, then it helps, it purifies us. It has the potency to purify us. It helps us to develop affection towards the Lord, right? Because otherwise it's very hard, like yesterday we were hearing such beautiful offerings by the disciples of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. They were saying how it is so hard to cry for Krishna because we don't have any attraction, right? We don't have any attraction for the Lord. How can we cry for the Lord? But the processes that Srila Prabhupada has put in place in the ISKCON movement, they are all helping us to develop attraction to the Lord. And that will in turn help us to chant nicely and to call out for Krishna when we are chanting. Isn't it? So that's why if we don't have attraction for the Lord, we have attraction for our gurus, for our seniors. And when we cry for our Guru Maharaj, then Krishna will be automatically pleased. You know, we are crying for a pure devotee of the Lord. Krishna will show kindness to us. On one side, we are working on ourselves, and then Krishna works on us. He says, I will purify you. You just engaged in the process. There is no magic. It's just a process that we need to follow sincerely. And Krishna says, I will clean your heart. Right? Nasht prayeshu bhadreshu. Whatever is troublesome, whatever is unclean in your heart, I will do it for you. I will clean it for you. But you have to sincerely engage in the process. And the process, so the holy names of the Lord, even if chanted unattentively, have a benefit. And we see how in the pastime of Ajamil, he did not chant the holy names of the Lord attentively, and yet he got the benefit. So it is the kindness of the Lord that his names have all the potency, right? Namna makari bahuja nij sarvashaktis. The Lord has put all his energies and potencies in his name. And yet, we struggle to chant. That is why it is our weakness of heart, our weakness. But it is said that the Lord has done whatever he can to make it easy for us in this day and age. And it is mentioned further in Srimad Bhagavatam, those who are actually advanced in knowledge, they are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali Yuga, because in the Kali Yuga, the worship, they even worship Kali Yuga. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.36. It is mentioned that such advanced souls, they even worship Kali Yuga, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by performance of Sankirtan. So it is mentioned that they are actually worshipping Kali Yuga, this age and age, because it is so easy in this day and age. Krishna has made it so easy for us. And, you know, if you see, Rupa Goswami mentions, he says that when he's chanting, then he feels that the Lord is dancing on his tongue. And he says the Lord, this Hare Krishna, the name of the Lord, is so nectarian that he wishes that he had thousands of ears to hear the names, and he had thousands of tongues to vibrate the holy names of the Lord. And he says, when the Lord dances in the courtyard of my heart, then activities of mind and senses, they become inert, right? Which means nothing else matters then. When you're at that level, when you're actually chanting the pure names of the Lord, then it is so nectarian that your senses don't bother you anymore, right? Because otherwise, how can we see that Haridas Thakur was able to chant so many names of the Lord, barely eating, barely sleeping? How were his senses not responding? Because he was tasting a higher taste. He was tasting a higher nectar bliss, which could subdue everything else, which could subdue all the senses and demands of all the senses. But if you see with us, I mean, there is only so much distance between our mouth and our ears. But it looks like the whole world fits in there, isn't it? Whatever we say from our mouth, it doesn't reach our ears. Everything else, because it's just lack of intensity. That is why. However, Rupa Goswami says that it's actually so nectarian, so we are guaranteed that you know, if you actually chant attentively, it is so nectarian that you would actually want to have thousands of ears to hear and thousands of tongues to vibrate the name of the Lord. And why is it specially mentioned here, Grihastas? And because if you see, Grihastas are actually even more, it's even more tricky for them to perform any other process, isn't it? Because there is no hard and fast rule, as Mahaprabhu has mentioned. We can chant the holy names of the Lord wherever we are, it does not matter. Whereas, because Grihastas are in different situations, they could be traveling to work, they could be coming back from work, they could be, you know, with their children, they could be in workplace. But wherever you find little bit time, you can quietly chant the holy names of the Lord. Whereas if you compare it with deity worship, you have to be clean, you have to be suchi. You can't do deity worship while, you know, you have a 20 minutes break at work. How can you do deity worship there? You know, so it's so different from the yuga dharmas of other ages. It is so that is why the holy names of the Lord have the potency to purify us. And here, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that this is the ultimate goal of our Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada assures in the purport, he says, anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi. So, this is a great statement and a very assuring statement that you don't need to take sannyas in this day and age to go back home, back to Godhead. Just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can attain the same perfection that a sannyasi can attain. And then he says, even more important. Now what's even more important? He can advance in devotional service. So just by chanting the holy names of the Lord, you can progress in your spiritual life because this is devotional service. And we all know that it is said that in this day and age, Kalir Kale Naam Rupa Krishna Avatar. So in this day and age of Kali Yuga, the Lord has taken incarnation in the form of His holy names. So then the Lord is present. The only way we can associate with the Lord is when we chant the names of the Lord attentively. That time the Lord is with us. I'll stop here and see if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thanks very much, class.
Thank you.
Imagine how, in this day and age, you know, it's hard for us to sit down and just chant, you know, in the book. So therefore, Prabhupada has created so much service for us.
Mm-hmm. So Prabhuji, because you are doing service, then at the time of chanting, you're thinking of that service. But what if you were not doing service, what would your mind be engaged in? What would you be thinking? Some sort of sense gratification, isn't it? So isn't thinking of service better than, of course, ideally, we should be just hearing what we are speaking, which is we are chanting the holy names of the Lord. And that is exactly when we say Hare, we should hear Hare. When we say Krishna, we should hear Krishna, right? So all the 16 syllables should go into our ears. And then they have the potency to purify our heart. But because our mind is so full of, it's in mode of passion. We're in mode of passion. We like a lot of activity. We do so many activities and devotional activities. And yes, at the time of chanting, then they come to our mind. But it still has the potency to purify us. It is not the perfect, not the best way to do it, but it is, we are on a process. We haven't perfected yet, isn't it? So when we get initiation or we start chanting, we have started the process, but gradually we will come to a stage when we will be able to hear the mantra properly. Because Krishna guarantees that if you engage in devotional service, if you engage in book distribution, prasadam distribution, and all these preaching activities, then yes, one day He will get rid of all the mode of passion that we have in our heart, situate us in mode of goodness, and we will be able to chant. So the process is devotional service, and the goal is also chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra only, but then we will be able to chant attentively.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for the nice class. Mataji, you mentioned how from the previous yugas, in Kali Yuga the process has become very simple, just
yes. So your question is you're not able to chant attentively.
That it's attentive and it's offenseless. So how come it's simpler and how come...
So that's what Prabhupada said. It's simple for the simple and it's complicated for the complicated. And our minds in this Kali Yuga are complicated, isn't it? We are not, you know, because Prabhupada even tried at his time, he actually advertised, anybody wants to come and live in the ashram, come and live and you'll be given prasadam to eat, you will be given facility to live, all you have to do is chant. Do devotional service. No one came because it's not that simple. It is simple for the simple in the sense that you say like Krishna is God. Yes, we know Krishna is God. Chant the holy names of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. It is actually that simple. This human form of life is not meant for anything else. All this paraphernalia that we create around us, these big attachments and relationships we create around it, it's not meant for that. But because we are so conditioned, we need all these things with us. So then it is simplified. Okay, you have whatever you want, whatever to make you comfortable. Of course, authorized activities and bona fide lifestyle. And yes, then you chant the holy names of the Lord. It will go away slowly. So what you're saying is we can't impose attentive chanting on ourselves, can we? We can only help in this way. That, okay, we will go to bed on time. We have a meal early so you can rise early next morning. If you sleep late with a heavy stomach, how can you rise early in the morning, right? And if you don't rise early in the morning, how will you chant good rounds? So the way to chant good rounds is that we have to plan. It requires a little bit of planning that you rise early in the morning and you associate with mode of goodness, isn't it? So Prabhupada says that mode of goodness is a base platform. It's like a somewhere that we can take off. We can... You know, like the plane takes off. So if you situate yourself in mode of goodness, then it is a lot easier to chant attentive rounds. So look for times that are in mode of goodness. And what time is in mode of goodness? Morning time, Brahma Muhurta. So if you're able to chant your rounds at that time, you'll have to fight off Maya a lot less because that is the time of the day when it's in Sattvagun, it's in mode of goodness. All other modes are subdued. And have prasadam, which is in mode of goodness, right? Associate with devotees, with people who are in mode of goodness. Go to places which are in mode of goodness. You see how when you see a nice river flowing, a quiet forest, birds chirping, the mind automatically feels so peaceful, isn't it? We are attracted to such things. So if you are in a place where there's a lot of hustle and bustle, or it is like, you know, peak time of the day, you're in the middle of the city, how will you chant attentively? So we have to create situations where we can chant attentively. And those situations are, you have to find, associate with devotees who chant attentively. Associate with times that are, you know, in mode of goodness. Associate with people who are in mode of goodness. Places which are in mode of goodness, which will help you to chant attentively. There is no magic formula, but we have to work towards it and gradually it will happen. And pray. Prayers are very powerful. Pray to the Lord, my dear Lord, I want to chant attentively. That is my focus, that's my goal. That will help. Thank you. Anything else? Thank you very much. Granth Sar Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jainitai Gaur Premanand.